Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Friday morning. Thanks for joining us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. I want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. Be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Corona.
That would be weird. If there was a beer store there,
yeah,
that would work. But if
Strange
there was
Brew was a brewery.
Exactly. Yeah. Maybe you could have a coffee house slash brewery.
No, I mean, now, what do we always say here on Thunder and Lightning? If you meet two of man's needs at one door, he will beat a path to you.
And have some Baileys in there.
I mean, coffee stouts are a thing, you know.
They are.
They are. So we're just thinking out loud here. That's all we're doing. We're just thinking out loud. Wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. It's just a click away. Just go to strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. This holiday season, if you have a coffee lover in your house, go to strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. A lot of great gift ideas there for the coffee lover in your house. The Mississippi Beef Council wants to tell you that beef, it is what's for dinner. We are getting closer and closer to Christmas Day. That is a beef holiday. That is a day where you want to have the best of the best, the prime rib, the beef tenderloin. You want to treat your family to a fantastic meal. Do it with beef. But in the days that lead up to Christmas, hey, if you just want to go out and have a great steak, you can certainly do that at any of our great steakhouses across the state of Mississippi. There's so many out there. Just got to pick the one you want to go to. Beef, it's what's for dinner. Thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com. I just tweeted out a little while ago the MSU fan Christmas wish list, courtesy of College Corner. Shirts, hats, hoodies, and all sorts of gear. You know, all sorts of nice little cool, we'll call them toys for the adults. Check it out. Everything you want Mississippi State on one list. Check it out. It's on my Twitter feed, the College Corner MSU fan wish list. Or you can just go to collegecornerstore.com and check it all out. Check out all the gear that they've got to offer. All the logos that you want. Great stuff. Two locations in the Jackson area. Originally by Fleet Feet. Full over the half shell. College Corner. Restaurant Tyler, Starkville's flagship restaurant. Lunch, dinner, Sunday brunch. The best meal in town is at Restaurant Tyler. They're going to see us tomorrow, correct?
They are.
All right.
Judging by what the people are saying about the guest room, I don't know if we'll be able to get in there.
Okay.
Somebody told me they waited for 2 hours to get in there last night. It's a hot commodity right now.
Yeah, well, I mean, every year of the holiday season, what they do down there, Miracle under Main Street, it's really, really cool. There's no question about that. But that's all right. We'll just go have our meal.
It would be a nice little romantic date for us, but we can sit around candlelight tomorrow. It'll be fine. And enjoy a steak.
Enjoy a steak or whatever it is you want to enjoy.
We can share our ice cream or stuffed pancakes.
Yeah. I mean, if they want to put some ice cream on that, I'm not going.
Just,
I'm not
just
gonna
give us two spoons and we'll share it.
Sounds good to me. Looking forward to it. And, of course, you can look forward to a great meal whenever you are at Restaurant Tyler. Priority One Bank, 16 locations to serve you throughout Central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide and show you not only where they're located, but how they're going to help you manage your money, invest, and prepare for the future. Now more than ever, it's important when you have questions about your money to be able to get answers immediately. You can do that at Priority One Bank. They have a level of service that you're not going to get at those big corporate banks. Find out more at PriorityOneBank.com. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. It's kind of fun in a perverse way, but with the portal stuff, it feels like every time I open my mouth, whatever I said before is no longer accurate. Like, it just changes every 5 minutes here.
Yeah, it's called recruiting.
I mean, but this is recruiting on steroids. You know, the Tyler Lockhart thing was one thing, but for the most part with recruiting, like, you know, you might have a flip here and there, but it's just not as relentless as the portal is. And this cycle, especially for Mississippi State, because they've just been so active. Let's start from the top. Let's start with going out, because we didn't do a pod yesterday, so we need to hit on Kevin Coleman's decision to leave Mississippi State. I'm going to go out on a limb and say I don't agree with it. Not necessarily, you know, look, if the kid just has a passion to win, if it's all about wins and losses, I can understand, right? Because I think Mississippi State's going to have it's going to be a tough season next year for Mississippi State. There's no question about that in my mind. But there is simply not going to be a better situation for Kevin Coleman than the one he has here at Mississippi State. He caught nearly half of State's completed passes a season ago. He is the number one receiver in this offense and is going to continue to be so. He will not get a better NIL deal from anyone else than he was going to get here at Mississippi State. This is a guy, in my opinion, Robbie, who got bad and who's getting either bad advice or is just making bad decisions, one of two. But from what I've heard, it's that he's making bad decisions because his advisors are not advising him to leave Mississippi State.
I think that it's a situation – you're talking about Coleman, correct?
Right.
I think it's a situation where he got home. He was in St. Louis, I think, recently. Mm-hmm. Started talking to some people and
– ate some toasted ravioli.
Yeah. I think that he's going to end up in Missouri.
Yeah.
I think it's a formality. I think, you know, it is what it is. People can – say whatever they want to say on it. I think Missouri is going to be his landing spot. I think somebody got in his ear and convinced him to come home. And it happens. It happens a lot in the transfer portal now. You see a lot of guys that go back home, that go back to, you know, a place that's familiar to them. And at the end of the day, I mean, I hate the fact that we can't have nuanced conversations when it comes to
right
recruiting anymore or the sport or college athletics. I feel like everything has to be so cut and dry. It's all got to be, you know, you don't have enough money or you didn't recruit hard enough or you didn't do, but always I hate to hear, you didn't do what it takes. You didn't do what it takes to keep a player. It's not always as easy as giving a guy a blank check, as doing whatever it takes. Sometimes it's the player. Sometimes the player makes the decision. I can give you different reasons for every single guy that's left Mississippi State to this point, specifically the three that have been the hottest of conversations with Mississippi State. And that's not even Bryce Pollock. That's Mario Graver, Michael Van Buren, and Kevin Coleman. All three of those guys, to me, they're leaving for different reasons.
Mm-hmm.
There's different things that have gone into their situation. And for Kevin Coleman, this is a guy at the end of the day that is about to be playing his fourth different school in 4 years. And the guy just doesn't stay places. He's not committed to a team. He has no loyalty to the place that he's playing for. He has been at Jackson State, Louisville, Mississippi State, and likely about to go to Missouri. We'll see how it plays out. That's where it sits at this point. So it's time to start having nuanced conversations about things. And it's not that Mississippi State didn't do what it takes. I think Mississippi State did just about everything reasonable to keep him here. And, you know, could they have written them a $5 million check and kept him here? Probably so. I think that would have been probably too much for him to turn down. And if you think Mississippi State's not doing what it takes, if that's the case, then we're just going to have to agree to disagree on that. But I think that Mississippi State did what they could within reason, everything humanly possible to keep Kevin Coleman here. And he didn't want to stay. Same for Mario Craver, same for Michael Van Buren. None of those three guys were told to walk Mississippi State didn't want to lose any of those three. They all made their own decision to leave Mississippi State. And, you know, that's how the portal works. We talked about this a lot. You cannot get attached to any of these players anymore. You can't make this a emotional attachment deal.
Yeah.
You have to think in the mindset of, thank you for your services. Now we need to go get someone that's as good or better as this player. Yeah. And if you're Mississippi State and you can't do that, then it's a failure on the coach's part. But they have a chance to do that. They're bringing in some really good receivers over the next couple of weeks. They have a chance to replace the production of Kevin Coleman. Will you get a player as dynamic as Kevin Coleman? I don't know. But can you get somebody that can get you 800 to 900 yards and 7-plus touchdowns and 70-plus catches? We'll see. The history says that Jeff Lebby can. So we'll see if he's able to do that. And at the end of the day, that's what it's all about. It's not – to me, it's like, how are you replacing those numbers? I would love to have a dynamic player like Kevin Coleman, but I just need somebody in this offense that's going to get me close to 1,000 yards and 7 to 10-plus touchdowns. That's what I'm looking for here. And you need multiple guys that are going to be able to produce in this offense. So that's – and we'll talk more about Jackson Arnold here shortly, but the people losing their minds over losing a player or two, at the end of the day, Mississippi State's got an opportunity to just go grab someone out there that is going to allow them to be effective on the offensive side of the ball. And when we get to January 1st, if that is done, then it was a success by Mississippi State. If it was not done, it was a failure. That's when we can justly, lay down the law on Jeff Lebby and his staff is on January 1st or whenever it is. If they've done that, if they've made sure they've gotten the right players in position to help them out, they've done a good job, and it doesn't really matter at the end of the day. So that's what you're looking for over the next few weeks. State's got to get it done.
One thing I will say, though, and I understand that State, from everything I've been told, that State made a great offer, that he agreed to an offer, and he just was one of those, it kept changing and kept changing. It's kind of similar to what happened with Ole Miss and Quinshon Judkins a season ago, I think. I don't think it got that toxic, but it definitely was a back and forth, and it finally just reached a point where it is what it is. But I will say
that's happened before. Mario Craver did that, Ra Ra Thomas.
Yeah.
You can kind of see where that's going when it's happening.
This is, you lose Ra Ra Thomas. Hey, look, I know what happens to Ra Ra Thomas after that part of the story, right? I know how his career ends up. I know that Xavion Thomas didn't do very much at LSU this year. Kevin Coleman remains to be seen. But if you're a Mississippi State fan who gives to NIL, at some point, State has to keep a guy that they want to keep. And when I say, I'm not talking about Bookie Watson or Jet Johnson. Guys, those guys weren't going anywhere. State had three guys this year that you really wanted to try to keep. Craver, at the end of the day, I can live with the decision to move on from him. Everything I've heard about him makes me think that this decision might have been a little more mutual than we think it was. Bryce, I've decided it's Pollock, by the way. I think it's Pollock.
The guy literally came out and said it's Pollock.
I don't think he's right. It doesn't matter. This is the last time we're ever going to mention him on the show, probably.
Well, you know what? I think your last name is Haddad. I've decided that you're incorrect on how you pronounce your name.
Depends on where you go. It depends on where you go.
You're wrong. I've decided that. You're completely wrong on how you pronounce
it. That's how Steve pronounces it.
Huh?
So, you would have liked to have kept him. That's one that got away. And now Coleman gets away. Mississippi State fans, we've been saying it for months, Robbie. They just need a win. They just need something good to happen. And if you're giving and giving and giving, at some point you have to go, like, what am I giving to?
Well, you do have guys out there. Isaac Smith is one of them for sure. I think that I know that Ole Miss has been working Travion Williams for like 3 years to try to get in the portal, and it hasn't worked yet. So that's another one that they've won.
I know for a fact that, I'm not going to give any information here. I'm just saying, I know for a fact that if he did leave and go to Ole Miss, he would immediately turn into Robert Kimdiche. He would become an unstoppable horse.
He would finally begin.
He would finally click for him if he left state. I know it. I know it in my heart.
Yeah, but I mean, they've won their battles. I mean, like it, you know, and you would certainly like to see, you know, maybe an announcement or I don't know, like something, you know, acknowledging that. But I mean, the state's won their share of battles keeping people on the roster too. You know, they had to fight off a lot of teams for Tula Griffin for 2 or 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's, it just says what it is. I think which the guy, like, I get the point that people make is like state always seems to lose like that one dynamic guy receiver or whatever.
This is 3 years in a row that they've lost that, like, what you would say there was their top receiver. They lost Ra-Ra, then they lost Xavion, and now they're losing Coleman.
What I would say is I think state fans are so locked in on the bubble that I think a lot of people miss that this happens at a lot of places with star wide receivers. I think it's more of a wide receiver problem than it is a Mississippi State problem. Who are usually your biggest divas on the roster? Who are usually the guys that are, you know, that you're hearing a lot about, the guys that have the worst body language on the field? That's the wide receivers more often than not. State's hosting a couple really good wide receivers from, you know, they're hosting the Satania kid from Arkansas, had a really good season last year. You know, it's just, it's to me, it's more of a wide receiver thing. And look at the guys that have left. You know, Xavion Thomas was kind of a return specialist for LSU. Ra-Ra Thomas, his career is probably ruined at this point, and there were some red flags with him. And then Mario Craver, you know, I don't want to run the kid down. I mean, he's just he's a freshman. I remember where I was when I was a freshman in college. I was arrested just like he was.
Let's just say he needs to.
I was a piece of trash. But, you know.
What did you just say?
I said I was a piece of trash.
Oh, okay.
You thought I was calling him a piece of trash? No. I was saying when I was his age.
That's the funniest thing maybe ever. You're like, I don't want to run this kid down, but he's a piece of trash. Like Stone Cold Steve Austin here.
I don't want to run anybody down. I thought I was pretty clear I was talking about myself. I apologize.
I'm telling you, your mic, at the moment you said me or I, that went out. And I was all I heard
I want to
piece of trash.
I want to make a statement right now that I was not calling Mario Craver a piece of trash. I was actually defending him. There's been a lot of things said about him, you know, in the last few days. And I'm not going to judge a kid in his first year in college because I was in that position before where I was, you know, people were probably talking about me the same way, just not on that scale because nobody knew me. They know this kid. But there's certainly been some things there, locker room, off the field, you know, there's a lot of things he's got to do to really grow up, just like a lot of freshmen do. And, you know, I don't personally, you know, who knows if he'll be able to get the number that people have been throwing out with him, but, you know, hopefully it all works out. But to me, it's a wide receiver thing. And, you know, the guys that have left Mississippi State at that position, and we'll see what Xavion Thomas is able to do next year, but it's not like it's setting the world on fire.
The grass has not been greener for these guys. There's no question about that. And it's like all of them, I think if they had just stayed at Mississippi State, it would have – maybe not with Ra-Ra, because there's obviously something going on there. But I don't know. All right, so that's what's going out here at Mississippi State. Now let's talk about who might be coming in. And let's talk – obviously, the focus of this week of podcasting has been about Jackson Arnold. As we speak, and we're actually doing this pretty late on a Friday night, so we've got as much up-to-date information as – or on Thursday night.
Thursday night.
We've got the information we have is as up-to-date as we can get. His visit with Auburn appears to have started quite late. I know there were some reports that he got there earlier in the day. Those appear to have been untrue. And his visit didn't start until, you know, almost in the evening, I believe, at Auburn, which might be delaying his visit to Mississippi State. Paul Jones on On3 Sports put out an official visitors list for this weekend, or for Friday, I should say. Jackson Arnold not on that list. When I talked to people at State, they said they weren't surprised that he was going to Auburn. That was always part of the plan. I don't know if they knew that the visit was going to start so late and then could delay his visit to Mississippi State, but that's kind of where we are right now. As far as we know, Robbie, Arnold is still scheduled to be here tomorrow, correct? Or today, I guess, as you're listening.
You know, I don't know when it's going to happen. There's a possibility that it's on Saturday if he does come.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, if he does come.
Well, I mean, like, here's the deal. Here's how this all works. You know, like, if people get so caught up with things that are reported, you know, several days ago, this is such a fluid thing that happens, especially out of the transfer portal. And we just don't know what's going to happen here. A lot of times when a player commits to a school during this portal era, more often than not, they get on a visit, they get locked down. If they leave that visit uncommitted, more often than not, again, they're probably looking around. So it all depends on what happens after this visit. I mean, it really does. And, you know, that's been kind of the concern. And that's, you know, I was told the same thing that you were told. Mississippi State has been expecting this Auburn visit. That's why it kind of caught me by surprise that they were still really confident, because when I hear that he's going to visit Auburn before he visits Mississippi State, that brings across some concern for me.
Yeah.
Because Auburn, I know, is going to pull out all the stops to make sure he's committed, especially with the person that's in charge of that football program.
Right.
They will do what they have to do.
It's kind of funny, isn't it? It's like you always want to get the last visit, but if Auburn has the first visit, you'd rather have the first visit because you don't want him going to Auburn.
That's kind of the trick of the portal now, because you can get them locked in and shut it down, and they can sign a financial aid agreement. It has to be after midnight when they leave their visit or whatever. Apparently that's a new rule. So they can't sign right away. They can sign before they take their visit, from what I understand. And we saw that with Red Hibbler. He signed with Mississippi State before he's even taken a visit.
Hey,
so
don't say his name before we play the song, Robbie.
Yeah, we're teasing a little bit. So, you know, essentially, Auburn could have a signature. I don't know. That, you know, maybe that could be why he was so late on his visit. That could have happened. Who knows? Here's what I will tell you. Anybody reporting anything right now, based on what I've seen from how this stuff's getting reported, knows nothing. That everything is rumor. It's so muddy, and it's just been just completely fumbled from the start. We got people saying that he's wrapping up a visit when he hasn't even arrived on campus.
Right.
We have apparently people from a rival that reports for a rival that are telling people the exact number he's getting paid, which is astronomical.
Mm-hmm.
We got Auburn people coming to Mississippi State sites that are taking what is being said here as gospel. I don't think anybody knows anything. And that includes me right now. I've called people. I've tried to talk to people, tried to find things out. The people that I talk to at Mississippi State right now don't really know what's going on. They don't have a clear picture on whether he's going to visit or not. And I'm not talking to Jeff Levy, obviously, but he has taken over this recruitment 100%. And that's when things start to get real murky on information that gets out, because he doesn't let a lot of information get out when he's in charge of it. If you remember last year, we had no idea about Blake Shapen until I think Pete Thamel or someone reported it. And that was him committing. We had no clue he was on Mississippi State's radar. We had no idea that Jeff Levy was after him. That was Levy's recruitment. This is what's happening now. Levy has taken this over. It's his recruitment. He knows this family as well as anybody in the country. And I just find it hard to believe that State will not even get a visit from Jackson Arnold. So I know what's being reported by Paul, and I fully trust in Paul's thoughts and the information that he's been given on the list that is available for Friday. I don't think that that 100% means that Jackson Arnold, and Paul doesn't either. I don't think that 100% means that Jackson Arnold is not visiting Mississippi State. But what I will tell you is if we end this visit on Friday and there's no clear picture as to whether or not Arnold's going to visit, that is moving in the direction of him not being a part of this class. Because State's bringing in a quarterback this weekend.
So let's talk about that real quick. And I got to be totally honest with you here, Robbie. I want to be completely transparent. If I had to pull for one or one of the other guys to sign here, right? If I had to say, yeah, State's going to either get this guy or State's going to get the other guy, I want the guy they get to be Jackson Arnold.
Because of the name.
Because of this kid's name. I don't know how to pronounce it. Do you?
No clue. No. Can we try together?
We can try together. I think I'm going to go with Luke Cromenhoek.
Cromenhoek.
Now, I don't know what the Florida State quarterback version of Lee Battelle is. If you're listening, though, you feel free to hit me up and let me know how to pronounce that. I think he might be Dutch. I don't know.
The Dutch.
There are two things I hate in this world. People who are intolerant of other people's cultures and the Dutch.
That's correct.
Yeah, I don't know.
You know what's really interesting about this whole meltdown, Brian?
Yeah.
Is it, you know, when this was, you know, even after the fact, when everybody knew about this kid, like, they're really upset because they've had Jackson Arnold just, you know, locked into their brains.
Mm-hmm.
This guy's significantly higher than Jackson Arnold in the transfer
portal. It's crazy, right?
I mean, so if this is your backup plan,
yeah.
Now, they need either one of them. Right. You need to land one of these two guys, I would think, or a good quarterback, whoever that may be. You just need a good quarterback. But if this guy is your guy, I don't know how you can be upset about that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, good player. You know, obviously, both he and Arnold had their moments this year, and also just were, you know, they had reasons to be concerned. But as far as the ability, and he's 6'4", he's going to be a little bit bigger than the Jackson Arnolds and the Michael Van Buren's. I don't really have a problem with this guy either. So if this is your guy, so be it. But you need to land one of these two,
right?
Number 14 in our transfer portal rankings overall.
Yeah.
And I believe is the number 2 quarterback.
So, yeah, I think that's correct.
He's right behind Fernando Mendoza.
Yeah. So, Arnold coming out of high school was the number 4 overall quarterback. And this kid, Rosenburton.
Rowan Gardner.
He was number 5 quarterback. I mean, and these guys are behind big names. When you look at the class that Cromenhoek is part of, DJ Lagway is number 2. Dylan Raiola is number 3. Julian Sayin is number 1 in that class. I'm looking at 24/7's rankings here. I don't know why, but it doesn't matter.
Traitor.
It's just what popped up on the SEO. Work on your SEO. Get your SEO game up, brah.
And you know, Georgia quarterbacks there's just been some really good ones through the years
there. So you've got that's who Arnold was, or that's who Cromenhoek is behind. Arnold, when you look at him at the quarterback rankings, some pretty big names here. Arch Manning, Nico Emeagwali, Dante Moore hasn't really made an impression yet, but I mean, those are the three guys ranked ahead of him. So there's two ways to look at this. First off, these are the two quarterbacks that Jeff Lebby has targeted. He's got a visit coming from Kromenhoek and likely has a visit coming from Arnold, right? So those are the two quarterbacks you got visiting. That's good. Mm-hmm. And what you said a second ago, you don't ever want to have all your eggs in one basket, not in the recruiting game, because that's how you get burned, right? That's how you end up as Joe Moorhead did when he had all his eggs in the John Emery basket. And then the next thing you know, you're struggling trying to find a running back. You can't have that. You know, Dan Mullen did that. He had all his eggs in the what was his name?
Which one?
Went to play baseball.
Oh, Sawyer Robert. Not Sawyer Robert. Oh, my gosh.
Start with a C.
The left-handed guy from Florida.
Yes. Cade?
No. Oh, gosh. If you wouldn't have brought that up, I would have never been stumped. Man, he played at Auburn.
Yeah, I think that's correct. Let me see if I can find it, because I got to know at this point, right? Cord Sandberg.
Cord Sandberg. Was that 15?
13.
The 13 class, the Chris Jones class.
Right, so they end up bringing in Damian Williams. They flipped him from Southern at the end.
Yeah, they had to go last.
They had to get a quarterback. They had to have
That's what Dan did. Like, he put all his eggs in those baskets, and then at the very last minute, they would flip or something.
Yeah, and then
he'd have to go get somebody from a group of five.
Somebody off of USM's, you know. So
I mean, he got Elton Jenkins from, like, Alcorn or something.
Yeah. That's UNLV head coach Dan Mullen to you, though. Don't you forget it.
Rebel head coach.
Part of the Rebel fame. I'm telling you, that doesn't sit right with me. Something in my stomach was churning about that. So, State, that's where they are. They're bringing in a ton of guys this week. They brought in a bunch of guys. I will say this. State is a lot more active, and they are a lot more successful thus far at getting visitors than mm-hmm. they were a year ago. They have legitimately, you know, improved in that way. They've gotten in some quality guys, especially – I'll give Hutzler some credit. He's gotten some decent visits thus far. We'll talk about his commitments in just a second. They've been much better getting those guys in. And I will say this also about the quarterback. Jeff Lebby's going to get a quarterback in here, all right? And I'll tell you, from the State's perspective, talking to some people at State, they just need a backup. They fully believe in Blake Shapen. Now,
Jeff Lebby absolutely loves Blake Shapen.
He believes in Blake Shapen. And if you told me today, Robbie, that I could get 12 games out of Blake Shapen, I'm willing to go into that with Kamario Taylor and whoever else behind him. But you and I both know that's going to be a tough ask.
That's the whole, like, crux of it. I don't think anybody – I mean, there are some people that are down on Blake Shapen, but I think the majority of people are just, like, at this point, coming to grips with the fact that he's not going to have a full season. And that's the issue that you have here, is that you just – that this guy is Jeff Lebby's guy. He loves him. And I think it's not helping their situation with Jackson Arnold and Rowan Gardner. I think that it's certainly not helping you. When you have a guy like that, that is a fifth year senior that Jeff Lebby is, you know, he believes in 100%. It's made it a little more difficult for Mississippi State to truly nail down this. And, you know, we'll see. They're going to have their opportunities. But, yeah, he believes that Blake Shapen is going to be the guy in 2025. And, you know, I think from a skill set standpoint, from a, you know, a brain standpoint and what he, you know, can processing standpoint, he could run this offense and win you games. But it's the whole fact that the way he plays and how hard he plays is actually becoming a detriment to him.
Yeah.
The toughness that he plays with, you know, and the, like, he's wanting to get that extra yard. He's, not wanting to slide. And he's going to take those hits. It's hurting him, literally. And it's hurt him multiple seasons. It's ended his season. So, you know, it's a very difficult situation when you're on the outside looking in. But Jeff Lebby is, like, he's all in on Blake Chapin. He needs another quarterback, but he believes Blake Chapin can be the guy in 2025. I believe he can, too. It's just how long is he going to stay healthy is the big issue.
Yeah. Let's talk about the guys that have made the decision to be at Mississippi State. Let's go ahead and play the song.
Creighton, 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 Creighton.
All right, so it's kind of funny when we've had all this talk about Mississippi State and uncertainty and all this and that and the other. Nobody's got more commitments out of the portal right now than Mississippi State. They got four. And they're all on the defensive side of the ball. We've talked about, excuse me, Javen Williams. We've talked about Jamil Burrows. Now let's talk about the next two. Let's start with a guy you've already mentioned, Red Hibbler. Any relation to Terrence?
You know, I've never really dug into that. One of them's from
Lexington,
Lexington, Durant, one of the places up there, Holmes County, and the other one's from Louisville. It's a possibility.
Lexington and Louisville. Are we sure they're not from Kentucky?
Right. We're pronouncing it the correct way.
I'm not arguing that. Was at NC State, didn't play much last year. Was he injured? I haven't ever seen the answer to that.
I think he was in trouble with the coaches.
Okay.
That's what I've gathered. He might have been in the doghouse, so to speak.
Okay. Well, the year before that, 6.5 sacks. And if you're like, well, that's not a lot, well, just remember that State had 10 as a team this year. 6.5 would have gone a long way for Mississippi State. And a guy that, you know, when you look at him from a physical standpoint, not the biggest guy in the world, but just knows how, just makes plays. And at some point, Mississippi State just needs guys that can do that. Now, I will say this. And if you look, when you look at some of the guys going into the portal, you're like, why isn't State offering them? Mississippi State defensively is making a conscientious effort to get bigger. They feel like they've had too many of these 6'1" defensive tackles. They need 6'3", 6'4", 6'5" guys, 320, big dudes who can push the pile. This guy doesn't really fit the bill for that, but they also need some playmakers and some pass rushers, and so Red Hibbler becomes hopefully a guy that can give them that.
Yeah, I think this is a good early get for them at defensive end, a guy that's obviously shown the ability to get pressure. Watched him a little bit in high school, and, you know, I was impressed with him then. Had to go to junior college, really impressed at Northwest, and then he goes to NC State and does what he did last year. You just need guys with experience, and you need guys that have the ability to get to the quarterback. And this guy checks both boxes. You know, hadn't played much at all over the last year, but I don't think that's going to be too bad of a detriment. I think he'll be able to come in and help Mississippi State and compete for a starting job right away. It's a really good start in what I believe needs to be, you know, a pretty deep transfer portal class for them on the defensive line. They got to replace a lot of talent there and a lot of bodies, and then they need to replace it with upgrades. And I think Red Hibbler is, to me, better from a production standpoint than anybody else in the defensive line this past year. So really good start there, and I thought this was a good pickup.
And then the second pickup from Wednesday is Jerron Manning, the safety from Old Dominion, who I think believe visited on Tuesday and then makes his commitment on Wednesday. Apparently there's a rule in place now that you can't sign your papers while you're on campus. You have to – there's a cooling off period basically trying to – you know, this is why some people are saying Jackson Arnold's already signed with Auburn. You can't sign while you're on campus. There has to be this cooling off period. So unless he signed – now, you can sign before you get to campus. That's what's happened with Red Hibbler. He hasn't visited Mississippi State yet, so he's free to sign. Manning makes the call 24 hours later. Again, I'm not a huge – you know, I know PFF is a good – it's kind of a good tool, right? It shouldn't be the end-all, be-all, but you can use it as – it's a useful guide. Mm-hmm. He was pretty highly thought of in terms of the safeties available in the portal So it feels like a good grab. And this is something I will tell you this. Isaac Smith, Jerron Manning, and then Tony Mitchell coming in from EMCC, that is an SEC caliber safety group. That can get it done.
And I feel good about Stonker Burnside potentially giving it a shot over there.
Yeah.
That room changed in a hurry. I think you've definitely flipped that room and put some legit SEC athletes on that side of the ball. And that's what it's, you know, it's not just about like the front end guys either. It's adding depth, and the depth at safety this year was just not good. And you have players that could come in and give someone a breather and you feel good about it. So they've certainly upgraded their talent at safety. You've done a good job there. You know, I don't know how much more time you need to spend in that room picking up talent, but cornerback, you need to pick up some more guys. I really like what they have potentially at linebacker.
Yeah.
I think that the linebackers can be really good. And you look at what they got on campus right now and potentially the guys are going to be bringing in, there's a chance for that group to be really good next year too. So you're looking at defensive line and corners, and you know, we'll see what they can do on that side. But I like Manning a lot. I think that he is a guy that, you know, from a lower level, that, you know, how is he going to take to the SEC? And that's a fair question. But background from, you know, New Orleans, he's got that Louisiana mole in him.
Mm-hmm.
Played in Mississippi JUCO. I think that he's going
to – Hold on. Did you just say he's got that Louisiana mole in him?
Yeah.
Buddy, you are on fire today. Keep going. Keep cooking.
I mean, why not?
I've never heard that. Keep cooking.
Louisiana. He's got Louisiana mole in him, and he's got a little Mississippi JUCO in him.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's like that. It's like that that hound dog. He's got a little bit of a, you know, the what did Cousin Eddie say? The Mississippi bloodhound or whatever. Anyways, I feel like this guy's going to be able to transition that to the SEC pretty seamlessly. Maybe not with the same stats that he had. I think he had 84 tackles and he had 3 interceptions. But the coverage grades were pretty good. And, you know, a guy obviously that was like Isaac Smith, he was in on a lot of tackles. So adding that to the room where you already have a guy like Isaac and then Tony Mitchell, who's been in the SEC, and I feel like is going to be able to transition right back into it. I think that this is a group that's really coming along well. So you're starting to check boxes. Mm-hmm. And like you said, I mean, I think a lot of people are getting really anxious about, you know, guys not committing, coming off visits, or there not being a ton of commitments. And you look around the rest of the country, there's not a lot of commitments just yet. I think there's a lot of guys that are going to be taking multiple visits. So this is new territory for us, man. Like, I think that we're still learning our way around it all. Even with it being like 2 or 3 years in, I don't know if anybody has a exact roadmap for how this process works. It's new. It's weird. And we're all in this together.
Yeah, I agreed. All right, one more thing before we go. Well, let's move into the rest of the last bit of the show, and that's brought to you by our friends over at PIP Printing and Signs, reliable service for every business need. Get the message of your business out there. Get it to the customers. Get it to the people you want walking in the front door. PIP Printing and Signs can help you do that, and that's what they've been doing for 30 years, is helping businesses just like yours get their message out to their customers, to their old customers, to potential new customers, to everyone. PIP Printing and Signs can put together a plan for you today. Give them a call. Talk to Cam Baker today. Tell him you heard about it on Thunder and Lightning. 601-499-5216. Let him put together a plan for you, and I think you're going to see the difference that working with PIP Printing and Signs can make for your business. When you need printing, call PIP today. Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District is the place to find the smoked Southern soul food that you are looking for. You are looking for smoked Southern soul food, aren't you? You are looking for a great meal in Starkville? Well, I've got it for you. It's at Two Brothers Smoked Meats. It's also at the Older Brother, Starkville's best new restaurant, the home of the fancy sandwich. That's right. Sandwiches like you can't get anywhere else. A unique dining experience. A lot of people promise that to you. You can actually get it at the Older Brother. There's not another place in town serving to you what the Older Brother is. So when you head to the Cotton District, you got two great options right there. Two Brothers Smoked Meats and, of course, the Older Brother. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. That's what they've been doing for 50 years.
50, brother.
All right. When you need technology for your business, if you need a new copier, a new printer, if you need a new computer, new laptops, you need to call Advantage Business Systems. And then if something goes wrong, you just call the same people back. They'll take care of it. You don't have to deal with a 1-800 number. You don't have to deal with any kind of you know, 45-minute hold times or anything like that. It's just easy, simple, one Mississippi business talking to another. You can't beat that. 601-362-9192, or you can visit them online at absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems helps your business do business. Before you go to any games here in Starkville, when you're in Starkville, if you need MSU gear, you need to go to Maroon & Co. You need to go check out the best selection of Mississippi State merchandise in the city of Starkville. No one's better. No one's got the kind of stuff they've got on the shelves at Maroon & Co. And, of course, we can save you some money as well. Use our promo code THUNDER15 to save 15% off regular price items. Some exclusions do apply. Before you go to any game in Starkville, before you head to DuNoble, to Davis Wade, to the Hump, go to Maroon & Co. SEC schedules were announced yesterday, Robbie, and I thought the most interesting thing I took from it was kind of twofold. And one is, I will give everybody a heads up, this time last year when they released the schedules, the Egg Bowl was on a Saturday. The Egg Bowl will end up on a Friday. That game is going to Black Friday. They haven't done it yet. They're just setting it up for flexibility.
Why do they do that?
Just because they have flexibility. Just because, let's just say we get into April, and for some reason ABC is just like adamant that they want LSU Oklahoma on Friday. Let's just for example, they're like, we want that game. We want it on Friday. That they'll put it on Friday.
They're just not ready to commit.
There's 99.9% chance it's going to be on Friday. But the other thing that struck me about this schedule, well, there are a couple things. One, gosh damn, four home games in September.
Why are these schedules so...
They're so front-loaded.
Like, they did this past year, too. Like, they would play, like, two or three straight home games and then go on the road for,
You play four straight home games in the month of September. And then you have one home game in October. I mean, just awful. I mean, I feel it's already going to be difficult for State to sell season tickets. This schedule didn't really do them any favors. They've also got all four of the non-conference games the first 4 weeks of the season, which means they play eight straight SEC games. And then the thing that really got me was State and Ole Miss getting the bye the week before the Egg Bowl. So yeah, I think both schools complained about having to play and having the short turnaround, having the short week when both teams were playing SEC games. It's one thing, you know, when State was playing East Tennessee State or Abilene Christian, where you can get the starters out prior to the half and you can get some guys rested up. Last year State played Missouri and Ole Miss obviously played at Florida. So we all know what happened there. This was probably the right decision there. It also means that, Robbie, basically, from a content perspective, we've got to come up with 10 pre-Egg Bowl podcasts. We got a lot of Egg Bowl to talk when we get to November.
For a team that, you know, they could be really bad. We don't know.
Yeah.
Oh.
This schedule is...
I can't take another one of these years, man. Well,
This team could be a lot better and still go 4-8.
I can't take it anymore. A full season of this.
Oh, you're going to
3 years
it.
In a row.
You're going to have to take it. You're going to sit there and like it.
Oh, it's like if you gave me a mashed potato popsicle, like that. That's what this is like. You just take it. Just eat it. This is what you did for
supper.
Is it
like a mashed potato with like a gravy shell? Like an Eskimo pie, but instead of chocolate vanilla, it's gravy and mashed potatoes?
Instead of a chocolate popsicle, the chocolate is actually gravy.
And then
on the inside, it's mashed potatoes.
Oh.
And you have to eat it.
And it's not even smooth mashed potatoes, is it? It's lumpy. They're lumpy mashed potatoes.
Yes, it's the clumpy mashed potatoes.
Oh,
that's what you have to endure. Awful.
I don't wanna.
That's what you have to endure for an entire season.
I mean, seriously,
that's what we're getting. They're getting rid of Mississippi State ice cream in the coolers. They're putting mashed potatoes and gravy popsicles. That's what we get.
We go in on the first day, you're like, I don't know what I'm going to get. Strawberry, butter, pecan, cookies, cream. And all you see is like butter, sour cream and chives, cheddar. Yeah. Like, what is this? Oh, it's mashed potatoes.
Yeah, it's just going to be a frozen corn on the cob. This is what you get. This is what you get. Frozen corn on the cob is our new Mississippi State ice cream.
Well, stick my
No.
No?
So that's you know, like, please, can we have something? God, well, throw us a bone.
So
throw us a bone here. Can
October,
you please give us something that gives us
you
sustenance?
Have one home game and it's against Texas. The month of October, one home game against potentially the preseason number one. I don't know who's going to be preseason number one next year. Arch
what
Manning.
What did State do to deserve this?
They won the national title in baseball.
But, like, you know,
this is what
Mississippi
everybody
State has been. You know, the fan base has been, you know, very.
I feel like we're a humble
nice fan when base. People have come, like. Mississippi State has endured some very tough times over
What
the
have
years.
We learned? Always be a jerk.
And still, this conference is like, yeah, but
this is,
you probably haven't been whipped enough.
This is everybody who in June of 2021 said, I don't care what happens. I just want to win this national title. Well, you said you didn't care what happened.
It's been all downhill from there.
This is what happened.
And anybody that ever wished away Dan Mullen was an idiot.
Oh.
Anybody that ever said, like, I'm sick of him looking at other jobs. I'm sick of this. 7 or 8 wins is our ceiling.
Let me see if I can find this, Robbie. We had somebody on the text line today because we started talking about Mullen a little bit. Let me see if I can find this text. I want to read this to you.
Anybody that ever wished away the golden years of Mississippi State football, you are a moron. I want you to know that sincerely.
Yeah. This guy says right here, hell no to Mullen coming back to State. Bring Arnett back to run the defense, though.
Holy.
I'm not done. Mullen has no idea how to manage a clock, less a football team. What has Mississippi State been since Dan Mullen left? I mean, this is a real State fan who said this, supposedly.
He doesn't know how to manage a football team.
I won't tell you about the other thing that I got today about somebody calling me a negative Nelly. I won't go into that. So
Mullen doesn't know how to manage a football team, but he was going to be the winningest coach in Mississippi State football history.
Mississippi State to number one in the nation.
3 years earlier than Jackie Sherrill did it.
Just number one.
Dan Mullen was going to be the all-time winningest coach, put more players in the NFL than anybody ever.
I mean, you're preaching to the choir. So, not a great schedule for Mississippi State, unfortunately. So, we'll talk more about that at another time. All right. We'll see what the weekend brings, and we'll talk about that on Monday's pod. Plenty to talk about, I'm sure.
Yay.
If Robbie doesn't go insane between now and...
If I haven't gone insane at this point, I should be good.
You should be all right. All right, guys. Talk to you again on Sunday night, Monday morning. Until then, for Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.